Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we are starting off with a subject that I know anyone can benefit from having better insight on. And what is that subject? Dealing with regrets in life. My guest is Mark Muchnick, and his book is titled No More Regrets, Creating a Better Tomorrow Today, and he has a good 30 tips to be able to offer us. And of course, we're not going to be able to get through all 30, I'm sure. But Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Donna. Glad to be here.
I have to tell you, anyone that starts off with a quote from Mae West is really my kind of person. I think she was one of the greatest characters. Whenever I can see any of her old movies, I just love it. What a sassy gal, especially for her time of life. But she said, you only live once, but if you do it right, once is enough. And I really like Mae. You have had so much in the way of life experience, Mark. You are the founder and president of People First Group. You do coaching, team building. You like to help people in management. And you're an online professor at Capella University. And there is a co-author, Clint Blanchard, that was involved in this book as well. But you really have a very personal story because you had to experience some things on your own. But I noticed that one of these stories was about a man named Gary and his battle with cancer. Tell us about Gary.
Gary was actually a great friend of mine from college, and we were very close. And after college, stayed in touch. But as he turned 40, and this is just a few years ago, found out he had stage 4 cancer and struggled through that, and ultimately that wound up being the end of his life at about age 42. So very, very tragic story. He died too young, great guy. One of the things that left a lasting impression on me with regard to my friendship with Gary was not just the great times we had during college, but about 6 months before he died, he came to visit me in San Diego and asked me a question he had never asked me before, and that question was, what's your biggest regret?
And I don't know that you answered it for him at that time, but he had his own regret. And tell us what that was. Hello, Mark? Are you still there? Something happened to my guest. Something happened to the phone line. So I will just... Doug, are you able to hear this? So I don't know if my engineer is trying, if Doug, our engineer, is trying to work on this right now. My guest today is Mark Muchnick.
Please,
let me... And his book, No More Regrets. Again, I don't know what happened to the telephone line.
Hold on.
Disappeared. So we'll take a break for a moment, and we'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hello, this is Donna, back with Mark Muchnick. Mark, I had asked the question, what was Gary's regret when he had this conversation with you before he passed away? There was one particular situation that had really caused him some anxiousness. What was that?
Well, in terms of what had upset Gary, is that what you're asking?
Yes, there was a very special person. In his
yeah, life. Yeah. Gary had dated a woman, you know, just casually in college that he was very fond of. But at the time, you know, the relationship sort of withered, and he didn't realize how important that relationship would be later in his life when she had called him. He was sick in the hospital, and this is you know, closer to the time that he was you know, not well and struggling with cancer. And she called him, and they began to, you know, take on this new stage of their relationship, you know, 20 some odd years later, and they both realized that they were really soulmates. And, you know, his biggest regret was that he hadn't been able to spend more time with her in his life, and how might that have been different? So, you know, he has wonderful children and had, you know, had a great life until that point, but it was just another piece of his life that he felt, you know, may have been a missed opportunity in his life.
When you decided to put this book together, No More Regrets, was there something personal that stimulated you to sit down and say, I really want to get this message out to people? Because I know that you have five strategies. One is getting out of the rut, taking nothing for granted, aim for authenticity, stretch yourself and be a force of goodness. But was there something for you that said, I must do this? I mean, when you were writing this, when I read this, it felt like you were wanting to work through something on your own. Was I incorrect in my assumption?
Yeah, I don't know if I was working through something on my own. I think more than anything is that, you know, I feel fortunate to have lived a good part of my life making a concerted effort not to have regrets. And, you know, we all do have regrets. That's the reality. And I'm no different to that. But what sometimes folks don't realize is that you can change the rest of your life going forward, is that you can get past your regrets and you can, you know, work on the life that you want to be happier and more meaningful. And I feel fortunate to have, you know, found some ways to do that. And those ways, which I've tested over time, and I've interviewed lots of people, thousands of people, about their regrets in life and how they've dealt with them and how they've moved past them, if at all. And that's what I packaged into the 30 ways that are part of this book. And my feeling is that if I can help, you know, just one more person be able to latch on to something that's going to help them avoid regrets in their life, to be happier, you know, I think that's making a big difference. And fortunately, I think I've been able to impact quite a few people that way. So that's the hope in this book, and that's the driving force behind it.
You say, when you stop doing what isn't working, you free up enormous amounts of creative, productive energy and liberate yourself from a shadow of regret. Give us an example.
Well, one example is that, you know, I'll give you an example. When my wife and I were, you know, just, we were newly married, we were poor as poor could be, had more student loan debt than you can imagine, and we were both working several jobs just to keep things together. And at some point, we were very frustrated and had a discussion about this, and we said, you know, this just isn't working. We love each other. We're getting along great. The relationship's healthy. The, you know, the financial circumstances, the way we're running our lives right now doesn't work in terms of what our vision is of how we want it to work. So we decided that we were going to just stop doing what we were doing because it wasn't getting us to where we were going, and we were going to start a new life with, you know, new jobs in a new place, etc. And, you know, we picked ourselves up and did that. I mean, we literally quit both of our jobs and moved to a new place and started over and built the life that has turned into the life we had. But, you know, not everyone can just get up and, you know, move or change a job, but I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to say, you know, because we're in it, we have to, you know, stick with that. And I think the message is, you know, sometimes there are other options, but you have to be creative, and you can't, you know, you can't just keep doing the same thing and expect different results. You have to switch something up, and that's the point of that story.
The times today for so many people are really challenging, and I like the title of one of your chapters where you say turn adversity into opportunity, and there is a gentleman you write about, Lloyd Bacharach.
Yeah.
And he was born with a congenital bone deficiency, and I really, really liked how he responded to people that were amazed at what he accomplished. But he would say, they'd say, well, you're disabled. He said, no, I'm not disabled. I'm differently abled. And I liked that a great deal. I just thought, what a way to totally take something that is perceived by others as being really a negative and turning it into something that enables him to be the person he is. Tell us a little bit about Lloyd and what his particular challenges were.
Well, first, I'll tell you that all the stories in this book, and I use stories to illustrate each of the points about how to have no more regrets in your life, and these stories are all real. They're true stories, and whether they're personal or about other folks and their lives, is that this is no different. And I first met Lloyd. He was performing at a school where he was teaching elementary age children about what it means to be differently abled and how to overcome your challenges. And he uses his own life as the example of, you know, you're not going to get much more challenged than this, but look at the life that I've made. And I never looked at myself as you know, in an adverse position. I looked at myself in an opportunistic position to build on my strengths. And he, you know, demonstrates that through, you know, his physical challenges and how he's turned that into, you know, really what is his career. And, you know, he's married, he has a family, and, you know, great guy from Chicago. But that was the impetus for the story. I mean, he has a severe physical challenge in the sense that the bones in his body, especially in his legs, didn't develop the same as most people. And his bones were so small that the doctors, when he was young, thought he would never walk again or really shouldn't even be in mainstream life, even in school. His parents thought differently and really believed in him. And, you know, he went through life on these, you know, with these tiny legs, but he was able to crawl, and he was able to ultimately have prosthetics that allow him to walk when he wants to. But he takes those off in his presentation so he can show people just how, you know, challenged he is from a physical standpoint, but how exciting his life has been. And he's competed in the Paralympics and was a state champion in gymnastics on some of the equipment in his area of gymnastics that he likes. And so he just, you know, has really done a ton of things in his life that are so inspiring. And so, you know, for me, it was just a clear sign of someone who was not about to have regrets and feel victimized by his own situation. It was just the opposite. You know, he was going to play to his strengths and make the most of what he had to offer folks.
I agree. I think his story is extremely inspiring. I liked also what you said about avoiding victimitis. And you have a word, plum. What does that stand for?
Poor little unfortunate me. A lot of us play the plum game. You know, we whine and we feel victimized and we, you know, worry about what we don't have as opposed to what we do have. And, you know, folks who play the plum game, who have that sense of victimitis, if you will, you know, tend to be much unhappier than those that don't. And they tend to have regrets about what, you know, the cards that life dealt them and you know, how others are so much more fortunate. And you know, that's really just a game that gets you nowhere. So, you know, the focus on you know, not having victimitis and overcoming that plum game is really the theme of that particular chapter in the book. And it's all about, you know, looking at, you know, the cup being half full as opposed to half empty, and what you can do with your life.
Toxic people. We all come in contact with that. If we're not careful, we can be so bombarded with verbal toxicity as well as emotional toxicity. What do you recommend? And I know you devote a chapter to this. What do you recommend people so that they can be more in charge of their environment relative to that?
Well, you know, with regard to the whole notion of toxic people, I mean, most of us know toxic people, have been around toxic people, and if you're around them enough, you know what a devastating impact on you it can have. You know, if you're around someone who makes you feel bad about yourself, ultimately you'll continue to feel bad about yourself, and you'll believe the negative things you hear. You'll believe that you're not good enough, and that's what toxic people do to us. And so the mantra there, and really to avoid the regrets of you know, having toxic people in your life, is that, you know, I make a clear point that you should do everything you can to, you know, steer clear of these folks, to get as far away from them as you can. I wouldn't even stay in contact via email. Just let them go. Let mm-hmm. them, you know, get them out of your life. And it goes back to, you know, a saying that someone taught me a long time ago, but it was, you surround yourself with positive people. And, you know, it's one thing to say it, but if you make a practice of it, it really does change your life. I mean, you do have fewer regrets in life when you have positive people around you, people who are, you know, in your cheering section, that, you know, are there to support you through good times and bad, to let you know that you are special. And it's not that, you know, you couldn't know that yourself, but to hear it from others and to feel that positive energy goes a long way. And when you remove those that are toxic, you know, out of your life, is that you just feel a lot better about yourself almost instantly. I mean, mm-hmm. it's like getting you know, the cancer out of there. That's exactly what it's like.
Absolutely. You have some wonderful points in your book that, again, I enjoyed a great deal. One was staying in touch. And I think that's one of the advantages of technology today. We're able to do that. But you talk in this chapter about a man named Vish. And he was always so very, very busy. And he decided that he was going to keep in touch with people that were really significant to him. And I thought what he did in a 30-day period was amazing. Tell us what he chose to do.
Well, this gentleman is quite a character. And, you know, he's a wonderful friend, but has taught me a lot in life just about, you know, how to live it in a way where you're not going to have regrets later on. And one of the things that Vish did was that he was feeling kind of low at a certain time in his life, where, you know, he would talk to some of his friends from around the country by phone, but he really hadn't kept up with them, you know, in person as much as he'd like to. The calls were sporadic. Everyone was too busy to come visit him, or he was too busy, or was too expensive to come visit them, and on and on and on. And at some point, he just said, "This, you know, this can't go on. You know, I'm going to have to change this if I want to have a happier life. I don't want these regrets about how, you know, I missed out on my friends' families and meeting them and keeping up with them." So he and his significant other, and they have a little one as well. They saved and they planned, and they bought an RV for very cheap over eBay. They made a supply of food. He's a vegan, so he's a pretty good cook. And he made a supply of food that he took with him, and they gave their friends notice around the country that they were going to spend 30 days to a year on the road. And it turned out to be almost a year. He took leave from work, and he saved his money, and they drove all the way around the country in their RV, visiting friends and meeting new friends, but really spending time with those people that were special in his life. And his point was that you got to make the effort to reach out and stay into contact with the people that are important in your lives. So maybe it's not, you know, everyone rushing to buy a used RV, but I think the point is that if we don't reach out and we don't take the time to actually go and visit, to be at special events of those that are important in our lives, then we're going to miss out on a lot, and later we'll regret that. We'll regret the times, the special times that we don't get to enjoy with others.
very true. Living a vision. I don't know of anyone that I've ever met that has not had a desire, a dream, an aspiration. You can use whatever word you want. And so many people do end up having regrets because they've not reached for the dream. Either it's money, time, circumstances, whatever. Let's address that because it's so important for us to listen to what's in our heart and what is really deep down inside calling to us. That, I think, is a very special thing to address. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
So what would you give in the way of a story, a suggestion about someone, maybe it's even yourself, where you stepped out of the box to attain a vision?
Well, I can give you what I think is a reasonably good personal example, and there are others. I have plenty of stories, as it turns out. But one story that I think fits this point pretty well is that there was a time where I had written my first book, and we had our first child. My wife and I had our first child, and my daughter Jessica. She was about 8 months old, and things were going pretty well. My career was taking off as an author, as a speaker, etc. We had this great little start of a family, had just bought our first house, we were, just starting, if you will, in the next phase of our life. But what quickly became clear to both my wife and I was that our life was becoming a little bit like June and Ward Cleaver, back to the Leave It to Beaver days. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it didn't fit our vision of what our life would be like, where my wife was a stay-at-home mom, and that was pretty much her whole identity. And she had been working; she was an executive in the workforce for a long time, and mm-hmm. had sort of now just become a mom, to those that knew her, and that was great, but it wasn't enough. And I was gone a lot because now I'm speaking and traveling and doing all these things around the country and internationally, and I was away a lot, so it just didn't fit the life that in our vision of the future where we were together and able to spend more time together and share the parenting and, both being able to have professional careers and yet still, raising our daughter and hopefully future children the way we wanted to. It just wasn't happening. So, in order to live this vision, we felt we needed to, to break out of the box, our routine. And to do that, to be able to work and to share work, but also be able to travel together and to be parenting together, we decided... might sound a little crazy, but we decided, what if we tried living abroad for a year and still, working and parenting, but doing it together, doing it non-traditionally. And we decided to do this. So we went and actually moved to Europe for a year. My daughter was 8 months old, and everyone says you can't travel abroad or do anything like that if you have, small kids, and it'll be horrible, and how are you going to make it? I worked out a whole thing where I came to the States like every month. I'd come for a couple of days, I'd do work, I was able to commute back. We traveled to every country in Europe and in the Middle East with my daughter, and some of our best memories ever of parenting are together, where my daughter learned to walk in Norway. She ate her first cookie in Venice. She chipped her tooth, unfortunately, but she chipped her tooth in Santorini, Greece, out of all places. She went to the pyramids in Egypt. So just crazy things that really don't become so crazy when you're living your life. And my wife started, working on the next stage of her career and wound up going back to school. And, we did all these things. So when we came back to America, it was just, we were changed individuals. We had a changed way of living our lifestyle. And we still live a very different lifestyle in that regard, is that we both work pretty much, electronically. We have to go to work in different places, but we both have careers. We're online all the time. We're raising two kids. We're spend more family time than you can imagine with our kids as much as we can and with each other. And so it's just that's our vision. We're trying to live our vision. It's not perfect. There are challenges at times, but the vision, we have clarity around what we want that to look like. So we work very hard to try to achieve that.
I think you've made some wonderful, wonderful points, because another of your chapters is being true to what you value most. And for you and your wife, it's not just work, it's family, it's lifestyle. And the wonderful thing about kids is that they can adapt. And I think that your story that you've just shared is a wonderful one because it enables people perhaps who are listening to say, well, there are different ways we can look at our life, and if I were to change anything, what would I want to do? And that goes into a segment of your book where you say stretching yourself. Now, when you went to Europe, you and your family stretched yourselves, even your little girl, even though she was only 8 months old. Children are like little sponges, and they absorb everything. And for her to be introduced to all of these different cultures, it was a stretch because you couldn't speak a lot of the languages. So here you are adapting, you and your wife both, with your little girl. And I'm sure that the depth of empathy and understanding about different cultures expanded substantially. To stretch oneself is, for many, a little scary. What would you say to them to put those fears aside?
Well, for one thing, if you're not stretching yourself, then how are you going to be growing? So, you know, you'll wind up in the same place you've always been in. I mean, we all like comfort, and you know, we have our comfort zones. We like the status quo to a certain extent. You know, we like it when it's safe, and that's what human beings tend to like. At the same time, though, you know, we need to be nourished. Our brains need to be nourished. Our emotions need to be nourished. We need to grow as individuals. And each of us has a lot of potential that oftentimes isn't being met because we haven't taken the time to try to reach it. So, you know, if you're not experiencing a little fear or anxiety or stress about what's next, you know, sometimes it's good to have those butterflies in your stomach. Sometimes it's good to feel the difficulty of moving to the next level in your life, whether it's in a relationship or in a career or in something that you're trying to do that's new. And so pushing yourself to do those things, I think, is important. Whether you succeed in everything that you decide to do is so less important than the fact that you actually gave it a shot. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really where, you know, a lot of people get this analysis paralysis, if you will, where they overthink, you know, all the reasons why that they won't be able to achieve something and why they might not get there, why they might fail, and just the fear of failure alone. But what happens is that sometimes you just have to, you know, take that first shot. You got to give it a shot. You can't succeed unless you try. And it's true. And mm-hmm. so that's a big part of this. The way it fits into regrets is that, you know, it goes back to, you know, if we don't try and we don't seek to do some things in our life that, you know, we have aspirations to do or it's on our wish list, is that those very well may turn out to be regrets that we have later on. Well, I wish I would have done that then. You know, I always ask people, Don, I ask people, you know, if you could get rid of one regret in your life, what would it be? And very often what people tell you, and that's a powerful question, by the way, what regret would you get rid of if you could? And how would you do it, is that folks will tell you all the time that, you know, some of the regrets are missed opportunities. You know, I wish I would have, you know, been able to say goodbye to that, you know, dying loved one, you know, relative, friend, what have you. I wish I would have gotten to spend more time with that person. I wish I would have, you know, done this when I was young enough to do it or, you know, was brave enough to do it. And those are the types of the regrets that, you know, those are hard to change later on. Those are hard to change. So the idea of really, you know, being in the moment and following your dreams and stretching yourself while you have the opportunity to do that, I think it's very good advice. I mean, it's advice that will help you avoid regrets and be a happier person.
I agree. Mark Muchnick is my guest today. No more regrets. There's many ways. In fact, 30 ways to create greater happiness and meaning in your life. And this book, No More Regrets, is a handy thing to read because each chapter is so well compressed in such a manner, you wouldn't have to take a lot of time to read it. You could do a chapter a night and maybe turn around some of the thinking in your life if that's what you wanted to do. And his website is no-more-regrets.com. That's no-more-regrets.com. Mark, we have about 35 seconds. What would you like to leave in a way of a thought with my audience today?
Well, in terms of a thought, I mean, one thing would be that, you know, I love the discussion that we're having today, so I appreciate that, Donna, and I'd love to, you know, continue to be a support for you if you need me. I write a blog on psychologytoday.com, psychologytoday.com. If you look at my name, Muchnick, M-U-C-H-N-I-C-K, or regrets, you'll find me. And so a lot of the things we're talking about today are good discussions to continue. So I post a lot there and have interactive discussions with folks, and that's a good thing. But my number one bit of advice would be that we all have regrets in life, but none of us want to have more of them. And the reality is, as I learned from my friend Gary, the story we started out with today, is that our regrets go with us to the grave. So there's no time like the present to start leading the rest of your life without regrets and to stop being a prisoner to regrets from the past. And that's what I would tell you.
Mark Muchnick. His last name is spelled M-U-C-H-N-I-C-K. His book, No More Regrets. Mark, thank you so much for being my guest today. I wish you continued success. This is Donna Sebo, and we are taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Hope you had an absolutely awesome weekend. Telephone lines are now open if you'd like to give me a buzz. 888-815-9756. If this is your first time of listening to this broadcast and you'd like to call in and get a free reading on the air, I would be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Again, the toll-free number anywhere in the world is 888-815-9756. For those of you listening in Alaska, I'm going to be traveling up to the far north. I will be there from the 9th of May through the 15th. So if you wanted to meet with me in person, the number to call is 800-872-8852. I always enjoy going up to Alaska. Well, if you find your life is absolutely boring, sometimes it's good to know about how other people live so you can really appreciate, well, maybe the uniqueness of your own space. I came across some information about a man from Thailand. He is a villager. The village's name is Koksun Enga, which means King Cobra Village. Aha, you think I'm kidding? No, this is for real. A King Cobra Village. Now, this is located in northeast Thailand, and many of these villagers keep venomous King Cobra snakes in wooden boxes under their homes. Okay. And every year, the village stages a three-day festival celebrating this deadly snake. Now, their entertainment performers include men who fight these king cobras barehanded. And ladies, the women dance with the cobras' heads in their mouths. Oh, that's a big one. Woohoo! Well, I don't think I'd want to do that. No. I just don't think that that is the case. But hey, it is a fact. Also, do you know that there is in a Hong Kong shopping mall, and this is something I have seen on television, and it's all about robots. Now, this particular kitchen on the shopping mall, the restaurant in the shopping mall, well, the diners are really fascinated by the servers because they're all robots. Now, the owners of this robot kitchen say it's the first restaurant in the world to have robots as waiters. And I've got a picture of this robot, which is an odd-looking thing, but that's okay. He has his platter. The robot can recognize voice patterns and take meal orders, which are sent by infrared technology to the kitchen. And it also serves the meals. Fascinating stuff. They wouldn't have any troubles with unions on that one, unless the robots wake up to that and decide that they want to have one. Anyway, it's fascinating what technology is evolving into. And remember Rosie and the Jetsons? I love that cartoon show. I still am waiting for the self-cleaning house. I haven't heard anybody come up with that yet. I'm ready for it. Yes, very much. And I also want one of those little flying units like Jetson has. I like that. Yes, remember how hard he had to work. So hard that George Jetson had a sore finger at the end of the day. Whew. Boy, that's a tough way to live. Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756 is the number to call into. All I need from you is your first name or your initial. And then after that, sit back, relax, let me tell you what I perceive for you. And then you're welcome to ask a question about anything that's of interest. Well, I wanted to share some information with you about stones. I had promised last week, and then we got busy, and I didn't get around to it. Stones for centuries have been considered to have healing properties and energy properties. Well, with technology, we're beginning to find a lot of that is very true. Certain stones have a magnetic effect. Others have an energy frequency that can be very beneficial, actually, sometimes to actually healing a human person, a human body of its ailments. But I wanted to share with you a couple of stones. One is the garnet. Now, for those of you that are Capricorns, the garnet is the stone that's often associated with those born under the sign of that happy little goat. Well, they claim that the garnet enables you to get motivated. If you find you don't have a lot of enthusiasm to finish a goal, if you're procrastinating on things, wearing or holding a garnet can help you get things done. The red relates to energy, and it also invites more passion and motivational energy into your life. They say through research, they have found that when people have red in their environment, it releases adrenaline, increases the heart rate and breathing, which gets you to get up and go, so you feel more motivated. However, it's not recommended that if you're in a bad mood that you use red or the garnet as a motivator, because it actually will cause you to get more of a negative result. So this is something when you're not feeling too good about whatever's going on, use the color red. I'll share something with you. A waitress told me a long time ago she had worked for a major chain. This chain, the food is quite delicious, and I know we've got a caller, but I just want to finish this. And they said to me, have you been aware of how colors are used in a restaurant? And this was a number of years ago, and I said, yes, I'm very much aware of that. My father used to be a maitre d', and color and lighting was very important for ambiance. She said, in this particular chain restaurant, they deliberately used a lot of red. And the reason being is that when you had a lot of red around, people would eat a lot more quickly than they would otherwise. And she said the plan in the restaurant in this particular chain, and the employees were trained in this, is that there was so much time allowed per table. And usually tables turned over. People would finish eating, order their full meal, finish eating, and be gone in like about a half hour. So they would arrange reservations accordingly. In fact, they actually, in this particular chain of restaurants, I've had this experience, they actually got quite agitated when people would just sit and have a leisurely meal, because that wasn't the usual. So red is something that contributes to a lot of energy. Just thought I'd share that with you. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Hi, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Tamara from California.
Where are you in California, Tamara? North, south?
San Jose, California.
Oh, San Jose, beautiful area. All right, Tamara, let's get down to business. The first thing I'm looking at is the word disappointment. There is a plan, an objective that you feel is taking far too long to reach, and I would say you need to stand back, reexamine it, and look at the facts. Did you maybe misunderstand the potentiality of more time being needed for the result that you wanted to achieve? If this is the case, don't worry about it. Just look at what your objective is and keep on moving forward. If in looking at what isn't working, you feel that what you have set as an objective doesn't hold the value for you that you had thought it would, then you need to re-examine it. And that's okay. Don't be upset with yourself. Don't be upset with the circumstances. Just make an analysis and ask yourself a simple question. Do I want to proceed forward in the direction that I initially had laid out, or do I want to look at a new map of action, or do I want to totally change my objective? If it's none of the above and you really want to stick with what you're doing, just look at how you need to restructure some of your actions and applications towards what you want to accomplish. That will enable you to see an end result. But again, it's basically up to you. There's no shortcuts here, and you are going to have some distractions, but you're the one that can turn it into a productive result if you so desire. This is the time to reassess, reevaluate, and replan. What would you like to ask me today?
I've got so many questions. I'm trying to figure out which one is the best. I guess, what do you see my career doing this year?
Well, again, I'll have to go back to what I just said. What kind of work are you doing?
Hospital.
All right. In the hospital work, is it in a specific area? Are you a surgeon? Are you a nurse? Are you a caretaker of a different type?
Respiratory. I work all over the hospital.
All right. So in that environment, is this really where you want to be? I feel like you're wanting to add a new level of knowledge to what you have so you can expand into another level. Am I correct?
Yes, and I'm also looking at writing a book.
All right, you can do both. The book is going to be something that I think is a good diversion for you. I think it enables you to develop a capacity of focusing and concentration that you had not put forth as a priority in your agenda. So I think that that's good. I think it's a very good balance for you. And I think also going forward with some of the additional training and education that you're looking at is very important. But you need a good mentor here. You need a mentor that's going to be able to give you an understanding of politics. Politics within the medical establishment and how to best plan for those environments that you are going to find yourself in. That's very, very important. Am I making sense?
Maybe. So I was thinking about going and segueing a little different part of going into sleep therapy a little bit. So maybe you're talking about that.
Well, whatever it is you choose to do. Whatever it is that you choose to do, just meet up with a good mentor. Find someone that you respect and appreciate their skills, their experience, and their wisdom. And I think you'll find support for you.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome, Tamara. I know your sound is gurgling there, so I don't know if you called in on Skype or on a cell phone, but I thank you so much for your call. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break in a moment, and if you want to call in and chat with me as well, 888-815-9756 is the phone number to call into. Tomorrow we're going to talk about how you can double your money. Aha! We're not talking about the racetrack or stock market. No, we are talking about practical down-to-earth information. We're going to be talking with Clint Arthur tomorrow. So he's going to share with us how we can double our income in 180 days or less. You game? I hope so. Tune in tomorrow. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are open, 888-815-9756. Well, if you're like me and find yourself traveling, and of course the summer months are going to be here before we know it, and what do we want to do? Well, we want to get out and about and travel and see different places, visit family and friends, and by golly, those airfares are skyrocketing in some respects. And be prepared. I know every time you go to the airport, dependent on the airline, you will have to pay anywhere from $20 up to $35 a bag. Yes. Some airlines, it used to be your first one didn't cost you anything. It used to be none of it cost you. But the world of today has changed quite a bit from what we may have enjoyed in the past. So when you're planning for your trips, and going by plane in many instances is the quickest and best way. I was having a conversation with some people who, like me, have the occasion to fly, and they'll say, I try to get flights that go straight to my destination if it is at all possible because of layovers. Anything can happen. We all know about the airport in St. Louis, Missouri, and how they have just had been hit by a tornado. There are so many things that have gone on weather-wise and otherwise that can cause delays of flights. But saving money when it comes to flying, flying to me is the best way to travel. I just absolutely love it. I've been doing it for years. And other than the inconvenience of maybe having layovers, boy, you just can't beat the timing. And I know it may not be quite as comfortable. You don't get meals on the planes anymore, and you have to plan ahead. You have to think. If you are a person with a particular dietary regimen, then you better be prepared to either make up your food to go on the plane with you and pack it along, or buy it at the airport. But understand, the good old days regarding food and other things are gone. But if you're wanting to get tickets, the best day to really look at tickets is on Wednesdays. Now, it's apparently the best day to buy tickets, and that is due to the competition. In Fair Wars, they can go on. I've been getting notification about different airlines that I frequent, and they have all these special fares because people have not been, due to the economy, spending as much money for traveling as before, so they need to have those seats filled. So you can check that out. And typically, if there are going to be some opportunities for good fares, they come out on a Friday. So sometimes airlines will compete with each other to get customers. But what you need to do, you want to be sure that you pay attention to what's happening with the fares. And if you're one of these lucky people where you can just do something spontaneously, take advantage of that last-minute dollar opportunity, I think, gee, that's great. People like myself that have to plan in advance, what I have been finding, a lot of these different organizations that say that they can offer you really big discounts, always check with the primary airlines because they are becoming highly competitive with these other organizations. And frequently I find I save dollars on the fares that of the particular airlines that I like to fly. And some of these airlines have partners where they are willing to work together. Consequently, one airline, they may be able to link you with another. If you're not able to get exactly what you want with theirs, there may be another one that can be linked up. So be aware. Thursdays, the fare wars and sales usually are over, and Friday is the day when it starts up again. And the best time of day, if you really want to find out where your best fares are, is 1 a.m. in the morning. Can you believe that? That's an hour past Tuesday and an hour past midnight, and that's when most airlines usually reload their computers with the newest fares. I'm always amazed. I don't know how they keep everything straight. But they do, and it is just phenomenal. So again, this is the time to do your planning. Watch fares. Some of the airlines right now are offering special fares that enable you to get those special breaks and fares all the way through till June, like maybe the middle of June. And, of course, then we're hitting the tourist time, hot time, and by golly, then everything is going to go skyrocketing. So see if you can plan ahead a little bit, save some dollars, and have a good time. Now, I said I had something for you in a quick recipe. My goodness, so many of you may have been cooking up a storm. You had family and friends over on Sunday, and you say, gee, what am I going to do with all this leftover food? Well, I came across a down-home kind of a recipe that I think is just a classic, and it's something that you can use with any kind of meat, whether ham, beef, lamb, I don't care what it is. But this is a casserole, and all you need to do is preheat your oven to 350 degrees. You're going to need about a 3-quart baking dish, and you want to, let's, you know, 9 by 13, something like that. You want to spray your dish with cooking spray, and then you'll take 1.5 pounds of bread. Egg bread is absolutely wonderful for this recipe, or you can use any bread that you've got. It could be rye, it could be whole wheat. And what you want to do, you want to cut your bread up into 1-inch chunks. And then you want to put them on a jelly roll pan, and you bake them. And then they just toast up lightly. It'll just take about 7 to 10 minutes in a 350 oven. And while you're waiting for that to happen, any leftover meat, you want about 1.5 cups for that. And I'd say, if you're like me, you throw in a little extra. But about 1.5 cups of your meat, leftover meat, and about 0.5 pound of your cheddar cheese. I like sharp cheddar cheese. And then you want to take 8 eggs. And you want to blend them, those 8 eggs, with 3 cups of milk. Doesn't make any difference what you use. You could use evaporated whole milk, 2%, skim milk. Doesn't make any difference. To that liquid mixture, you want to add about 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of pepper, 1/4 teaspoon of garlic powder, and 1/2 teaspoon of dried thyme. And just blend it. I like to put all that stuff in the blender, just zip it, in 2 seconds it's done. Take your bread, half of your bread, you put it on the bottom of your baking dish, which again has been sprayed with a nonstick cooking spray. Sprinkle it with 3/4 cup, half of your meat mixture generally, and then if you have a vegetable, you can have like peas or carrots, whatever your favorite vegetable might be. Have all leftover vegetables, toss those in. You're going to need about a half a cup, maybe a little bit more. And then about a cup of your favorite cheese and put that in there. Top it with the remaining bread, meat, another half cup of vegetable. And then when you've done that, you pour your egg mixture over the top of it, cover your dish with your foil, and you bake it until the center of the dish is set and cooked through. It's going to take about an hour, 30 minutes. So this is something you start in advance, put it in. You take your foil off after about an hour and 30 minutes. It's going to have formed a nice custardy type of a dish. You put on the rest of your cheese. I always add a little extra. Put that back in that 350 oven for about 5 minutes, and you have got a delicious meal. Served with a salad, it is perfect. A glass of wine, your favorite beverage, and it'll serve 8 people. Hearty appetites, 4. So this is something you can do so many things with it. You can make it in any way you want. Add the additions. It's a great dish. My goodness, we're out of time. Donna Sebo here. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Enjoy your day. It's a great day to be alive and a wonderful day for you to let your light shine on others as you cross their paths. God bless. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.